Hello to you again, and welcome to all of our listeners on this broadcast of Transforming Grace. This program is brought to you every week at this time on this station, and we're so pleased that you take the time to listen, and we're trusting the Lord that these messages will be helpful to you. My name is Roger Pascoe. I'm speaking to you from Canada, and as we work our way through the Gospel of John together, we're just trusting the Lord to use these messages to open up your understanding, to help you in your Christian walk, and to challenge you as well in your Christian life. I know these messages have been and continue to be a challenge to me, and I'm trusting that you will benefit from them as well. Well, we're going to continue today in John chapter 18, where we're speaking about the conflict of kingdoms, the conflict between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven. And this is the topic or the subject in chapter 18 in Jesus' conversation with Pilate. If you were listening to us last time, you'll remember that we dealt with the kingship of Jesus that separates cynics from seekers, those who sneer at God from those who hunger for God. And then we notice that the kingship of Jesus separates the physical from the spiritual. We noticed last time that Jesus' kingship is not a physical entity, but that Jesus' kingship is a spiritual entity. And so we reached about verse 37 last time, and we'll pick it up there in John chapter 18. But let's just for the connection begin reading again at verse 33. John 18 then at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, that is the governor's headquarters, and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Well, let's just pray together before we continue. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture that gives us such insight into the person of our Lord Jesus, as we see him contrasted here with this wicked man Pilate. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom was not of this world, but that your kingdom is of a spiritual nature. And so you did not come with your disciples to fight, to take over a kingdom for yourself, but you came to serve and to introduce the kingdom to your people who follow you, those in whose hearts you reign and you rule. So may it be true of all who are listening to me today that you will have the supreme place in each of their hearts. For I pray this in your worthy name. Amen. Well, we come to the fourth question that Pilate asks Jesus, and a vital question it is when he says, "What is truth?" in verse 38. His first question in verse 33 was, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus dealt with that whole issue of his kingdom, that he was not a king in the sense of competing with Pilate for power and authority over an earthly kingdom, but he is certainly the king of his spiritual kingdom. "My kingdom is not of this world." So he is implying, therefore, that his kingdom is of another world, or his kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. And then Pilate asks him the second question, "What have you done?" That's in verse 35. And then the third question in verse 37, are you a king then? And the fourth question in verse 38, what is truth? Well, in response to Pilate's question, the third question, are you a king then? Jesus affirms that he is a king, but he describes the nature of his kingship as being very different from the kings of this world. He is a king by birth, he says, for this cause was I born. He is a king from another world, for this cause I came into the world. He is a king who proclaims the truth, I came to bear witness to the truth, and he is a king over a kingdom of truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so then the fourth question that Pilate asks, what is truth? This question, of course, is asked in response to what Jesus has just said, that he came to bear witness to the truth, and that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Well, Jesus was the only one who could bear witness to the truth, for he is the only one who came from heaven to declare the truth to us, the truth about God and the truth about who he is. Pilate, you see, is faced here with something that he had never heard before when Jesus expresses in verse 37 that he came to bear witness of the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. This is something brand new to Pilate. He knew about worldly empires that were governed by force, were governed by authorities, governments, kingly rules, but he knew nothing about this strange realm or kingdom of truth. It's hard to tell from this verse what Pilate's level of sincerity in this question really is. Was he being scornful? Was he being frivolous? Was his question just superficial? In other words, he's not really interested in the answer at all. He's just filling in time, or he just doesn't know what else to say. Or is Pilate being sincere? Did he really want to know the truth? Was this the challenge of a sneering cynic that we looked at before, someone who is scornful and negative about other people? Is that what Pilate is here, a cynic, a skeptic, one who doesn't believe the truth? Or is this a question that comes from one who hungers after God, one who is a seeking soul, wanting to know the truth? Perhaps this is just the question of one who is indifferent, doesn't care really at all. Where does Pilate stand in this? It's really hard to tell, isn't it, from this verse? But it seems to me that it was another cynical question. Pilate was cynical of a world of truth, just like many people today are. They don't believe that there's any such thing as absolute truth that they can place their trust in. So many people today think that you create your own truth, that it's whatever your mind makes up, that is truth for you. It may be something different for somebody else, but there is nothing absolute, nothing concrete that you can put your hands around and say, this is the truth. There's many people like that today. If you tell them that there is absolute morality from God as to God's standards for living, they won't believe you, because they believe that morality is decided by each individual person. And so long as you don't hurt anybody else by it, then that's okay. Well, perhaps that's what Pilate was, someone who didn't consider that there was any such thing as truth anyway, that there was nothing of a nature that he could learn from Jesus that would impact his life or change the way he lived. A world of truth that Jesus had just spoken about was something foreign to him. He only related to the world, the physical world in which he lived. He undoubtedly considered Jesus as an idealist, someone who is striving for some sort of philosophical or mystical ideal, but he probably writes Jesus off as being a dreamer, someone who can never make a difference in the world and isn't in touch with reality. He probably considers Jesus as someone who thought he could bring about a kingdom of truth in a world of untruth, but that was all just a product of his imagination and of his idealistic desires. The world that Pilate lived in was full of superstition, you see, and cynicism, and denial of goodness and truth. He lived in a world that was full of questions for which there was no absolute or lasting answer. He lived in a world that was bound up by irrational fears of the unknown, fears of the spirit world, fears of mysteries that they couldn't solve. And consequently, he, along with so many others of his day, had no deeply rooted faith concerning God or concerning the reality of life. So I think in this question, Pilate is reflecting much of what we see around us in the world today. People who live in fear of things that they don't know, live in the fear of superstitious beliefs that have no concrete basis in reality at all. He's representative of people who can only relate to the physical world, the world in which they are striving for power and position and possessions, but they don't relate at all to the spiritual world, the world of truth, as it is in Jesus, or the world of reality concerning God, concerning God's relationship to us, and our need for a Savior, and all of those kind of issues of truth. Whatever Pilate's attitude was when he asked Jesus this question, one thing is clear from the rest of the passage, that is that he didn't want the truth. Even though he did not consider Jesus a danger to society, even though he didn't consider the charges that had been brought against Jesus to have any substance whatsoever, he didn't see Jesus as being guilty of anything that would require the law to be applied to Jesus. And even though he wanted to let him go, because he had obviously come to the conclusion that Jesus was innocent, that's why he said, "I find no fault in him at all," nevertheless, he rejected the truth. He turned away from it. Now, understand that he turned away not only from the concept of truth and the teachings of the truth, but he turned away from the truth himself, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so, when Pilate turns away from Jesus, he turns away from the one who is the embodiment of the truth, the one who lived the truth in his life, the one who declared the truth in his teachings. Jesus turned away from him, and in so doing, he turned away from it. That is, he turned away from the truth. He didn't want to know it. He didn't want to learn it. He didn't want to apply it to his life. And so in Jesus and in Pilate, we see this conflict, not only a conflict of kingdoms, that they came from two entirely different worlds, but we find a conflict of ideologies, of a conflict of what to believe. There was a conflict between the belief system and the truth that Jesus bore and that he proclaimed throughout his earthly ministry, and the belief system, if you will, that Pilate had, which bore no relationship to spirituality or God whatsoever. And so this kingdom of truth was in conflict with the kingdom of this world. All that Jesus stood for was in conflict with everything that Pilate stood for. Jesus stood for truth. Pilate stood, as we're going to find out later, he stood for lies. Jesus stood for love. Pilate represents and stood for hatred. Jesus stood for mercy, where Pilate stood for condemnation. Jesus stood for righteousness, and Pilate stood for unrighteousness. Jesus stood for holiness, and Pilate stood for wickedness. Jesus is standing before Pilate for God, to represent God, for he was God, and Pilate stood there as a representation of Rome and the authority of the Roman government. And so you see there's these two entirely different, contrasting, conflicting persons and what they stood for and what they believed. So hence, I've called these messages last week and this week the conflict of kingdoms. Pilate then rejected the truth, and his subsequent actions prove that by his condemning Jesus to death. If he wanted the truth and had believed the truth, then he would never have condemned Jesus. In fact, if Pilate had acted truthfully, he would have never condemned Jesus, for he said, "I find no fault in him at all." And so Pilate's own actions prove who he was in his nature. He did not want the truth. He did not stand for the truth. He stood for everything that was corrupt, everything that was sinful in the world. And so he condemned an innocent man. And your treatment of Jesus Christ indicates whether you want the truth or not. Your father is either Satan, who is a liar, or God, who is truth, the Bible says. For Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That's how Jesus describes Satan. He is a liar and the father of lies. And so people who persist in rejecting the truth of God are in fact saying that their father is the devil, who is the father of lies. That's what Jesus was saying to the Jews in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus also said, as I mentioned, in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's saying, if you want to find God, that is the ultimate truth, then you must come to him through me, through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, there are people that we call agnostics. Agnostics are people who doubt the truth. They don't believe that you can know the truth. There are people that we would call rationalists. They question the truth. There are infidels who scoff at the truth. They're cynics who scoff at the truth. There are people who are driven by logical arguments that dissect, that take apart the truth. And then there are people who claim to be highly educated in search for the truth, but never come to a knowledge of the truth because they don't want to know Jesus. You see, if you want to know the truth, you have to come to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of God in Jesus Christ frees us from the bondage of sin and Satan. Jesus said again in John 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said again in chapter 17 of John, where he is praying to the Father, he says about his disciples, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so for us, you see, the word of God is the source of all truth. It is the source of absolute truth, because it is God's word to us that shows us the truth about the human race, the truth about God, the truth about God's holy requirements of us, the truth that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that we have rebelled against God's law, that we are the transgressors of God's law, and as such we are sinners, and we desperately need a Savior. That is the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is also that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The truth is that Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom that you might be saved. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, as Jesus said to Pilate, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate didn't listen to Jesus' voice. Pilate was not of the truth. But you can listen to Jesus' voice today through his word, and you can follow that. You can come to a knowledge of the truth by placing your faith and trust in Jesus. Pilate rejected the truth and instead chose the devil's lie. What are you going to decide about Jesus Christ? Will you decide that he is God himself, God incarnate, God in the flesh, and therefore he is to be trusted absolutely, and that everything that he teaches us we are to follow and obey? Or will you decide that he is a liar, he's an impostor, and therefore to be rejected? Those are the only two reactions you can have to Jesus. You either receive him or you reject him. For as many as received him, Jesus says in John 1, to them he gives the right to become children of God. But there are many who rejected him. He came to his own, John 1 says, and his own received him not. In other words, they rejected him. And the question is, what are you going to do about Jesus? This conflict of kingdoms, you see, is still being waged today. There is a conflict between truth and tradition. There's a conflict between the attitudes of cynicism and sincerity. There's a conflict between the realms of the spiritual and the physical. And the greatest conflict is between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world are represented by Pilate and are characterized by their power, by their pomp, by their ceremony, and by their scorn for others. But the kingdom of God is represented by Jesus, and it is characterized by grace and truth, by holiness and love, by compassion for others. This great conflict started in the Garden of Eden, and it climaxed at the cross. Jesus Christ rose victorious over death and Satan, and he'll come again in victory. His kingdom will prevail. Whichever kingdom we are a part of depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Either we follow him and hear his voice and love his truth and long for his kingdom to come, or you reject him, you disregard his teachings, and you fall for Satan's lie, and you love this present evil age, not the world that is to come. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of truth, and it derives its nature from the God of truth. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, and derives its nature from the father of lies. The kingdom of truth is inhabited by lovers of truth. The kingdoms of this age, of this world, are inhabited by lovers of pleasure. For in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So which kingdom have you bowed to? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light? Whose kingship are you under? The kingship of Jesus Christ or the bondage of Satan? The conflict between these kingdoms is only resolved when we bow the knee to the kingship of Jesus Christ. Won't you bow to him today and own him as your Lord? Well, that's all we have time for. We've come to the end of verse 38, and next time we're going to pick it up at the beginning of chapter 19 and see how this continuing conflict between Pilate and Jesus works out in this awful scene as this man judges Jesus and condemns him to death for something that he didn't do. For Jesus had no sin, he knew no sin, there was no sin in him. Well, I trust that you will trust Jesus today, because he is the truth. And isn't it true that we all really deep down want to know the truth? Even though the truth reveals things about us that we don't like and that we don't want to face, really and truly, we do need to and want to know the truth, for it is the truth alone that sets us free. And don't you want to be set free from sin today and released into the liberty of Jesus Christ? Well, I pray that that's true in your life. Thank you for listening today to this program. And I'm trusting that you'll listen in again next week as we continue this study together on this program called Transforming Grace. And until we're together again, may God bless you in your life.